For the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. For 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in the games meeting, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTube. How good is it not having daylight savings time anymore?
It's good.
If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're watching us on a podcast service, watching YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you're watching on podcast services, give us a 5-star rating and a written review. I threw myself out in the order. Forget what it was. But if you want to support the show financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Happy Easter weekend, Maximus.
What's going on?
That's good, man. That's not much going on. It's good. Good Easter weekend. Good chills. Good chocolates. Yep. Good not having to go to work. That's certainly a big plus.
I mean, I normally don't work on the weekend anyway, but yeah.
Oh, me either.
Carry on.
But I have the advantage of like a couple of days off after Easter that I can steal, so I can, you know, avoid having to do work, or I can just send some emails and it looks like I'm doing work and then I have to claim leave.
I can't do that because apparently the shit hits the fan every time I take leave.
Me too. That's all.
So, I had an interesting night last night. I'm just gonna kick things
straight in. I don't have to pull shit out of you, ready to go.
So, one of my friends was down from fucking whoopty out in the shticks. No, she's moved out to Bort. I don't know if you know where.
I got family in Bort. Weirdly enough.
Anyway, she was down for her birthday, and she's like, "Hey, we're having birthday drinks, birthday dinner." I'm like, "Cool, awesome." So I rock up. And I get there, you know, just before kickoff time, and I'm like, "Oh, it's a pretty big table. How many people are coming?" She's like, "Oh, my partner's friends are coming." Turns out her partner's and all his friends were in my year level at high school, and it's just a bunch of fucks that I hadn't seen in ages that I kind of didn't want to see.
Oh, okay.
I was like, please don't recognize me. That wasn't too bad. That was pretty good.
Wait, were you these kids that like gave you shit in school or like ones you used to care really. For? It's the same reason that we're like, "Hey, here's, you know, it's your 10 year reunion." Yeah. I was like, "No, I didn't want to fucking talk to you when I was in school. Why would I want to do it 10 years later?" I still talk to.
Yeah, well, that's just it. But the kicker was one of my friends who actually came, who we've been friends for ages. He's like, "Hey, would you mind giving me a lift to the train station so I can catch the train back home to Melbourne?" I'm like, "Yeah, cool, no worries." And about 9 o'clock, I left. I'm like, "Hey, I'm heading off now." I'd been there since like 6:30.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Cool, no worries." So we got in the car. I dropped him off at the train station. I'm like, "Oh shit, I didn't fucking pay for my meal. I literally dined and just fucked off." I rang my friend. I'm like, "Hey, I'm so sorry. I forgot to pay. I've transferred you money. Can you fix up my bill?"
She's like,
"You're the worst, but thank you."
Yeah. Like, at least any excuse to not talk to people from high school.
But I'm like, "Oh, of course." I mean, I was distracted. Allie was like, "Can you please get me some stuff?" And I tried to, she wanted the garlic pizza brought home. So like, we were at the Barking Dog. So there was a pizza shop across the road and they're like, "No, we're closed. It's Easter weekend. We're just closed flat out." Barking Dog's like, "We don't do takeaways on our pizzas. You can only have them here." And then there's so pizza shop in my house.
So you just also stole Barking Dog's plate.
So I'm like, I'm fucking hunt this garlic pizza down. Everywhere's closed. I'm like, "Okay, I guess it's home brand garlic bread from Safeway." And then that just threw me off. I just fucking left.
that is a sentence.
I'd honestly forget my head if it wasn't screwed up.
That is an evening. See, I have memory and discombobulated brain that much myself, but I'm neurodiverse. I have reasons. You're neurotypical as far as I'm aware, so what's fucking your excuse? I'm
anything but typical, but sure.
Yeah. You're undiagnosed neurodiverse.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I might look, because since we last spoke, because obviously we recorded on Saturday?
Yeah.
Of last week. Yep. Some shit went down since then. Not quite as exciting as yours, but I talked about it last week, and as everyone knows on the show, I'm a huge wrestling fan. You may eat your chocolate while I talk wrestling. Your Easter Bunny. So on Sunday of last week, I talked about it in the show, I was flying up to Sydney to go watch WrestleMania with WWE Australia. So they threw up a competition on Twitter, and I was like, fuck it. I just threw a response at it. I was like, eh, why not? I won. What was great about it is a couple of my other mates were going. So Mad Dog, who does the TCW, the wrestling, the Twitch Championship Wrestling 2K23 shindig. He won as well. So clearly they sort of looked at the respondents and went, all right, who are these are actual wrestling fans? Because it felt like the vibe of the people was like, you're all legit wrestling fans. And my mate Fid, who I think, he didn't do a show with us, but when we recorded at PAX last year, he broke into the room at one point while we were recording. He's a big wrestling fan as well, so he was invited by 2K, so he joined us, and it was awesome. I literally got up at fucking
asshole o'clock,
3:45, to get to the airport to fly out at 6. Because you'd be there an hour early or some nonsense. So flew out of Avalon, landed in Sydney, got in a taxi, went straight to the bar, watched WrestleMania, just drank all day because I wouldn't have to drive anywhere. It was awesome. Had a couple hours to kill at the end of the day, jumped on a flight, came home, slept, and then did it all again the next day. But in Geelong. But there were some fun parts, though. Weather was absolutely hot garbage. Pardon me, in Sydney. So the planes were delayed up like bonkers, which was ball bags. So I booked in for the Gull bus, you know, the bus that travels from Geelong to the airport. I booked...
The nobody loves me enough to pick me up bus.
Correct. Turns out someone does in fact love me, because the bus that I booked was 7:45 because I should have landed at like... I don't know, substantially earlier than that, about 7 o'clock. I look at my watch as I'm on the flight, 7:45. I'm like, fuck knows where I am. I'm clearly in the air. I'm like, well, I'm missing that bus. But thankfully, because I kind of had a feeling that I'd miss it, I was like shooting messages before, and a good friend of the show, Craig and Ange, came and saved me from the airport, which was lovely. What was also tons of fun is on the flight home, I'll talk about the actual day as well. On the flight home, I'm just sitting there, and I'm decked out in all my fucking, you know, I have a WrestleMania jumper that I won. I'm wearing like my Finn Balor baseball tee.
Smashed off your tits.
A little bit fucking cut. Just the back end of the day cut. Look to my left, and this dude next to me is watching it on his phone. And he's watching Mania. I'm like, oh, cool. I just started watching. And then I went, oh, wait, that's a bit rude of me. So I'm like, hey, dude, do you mind if I watch WrestleMania over your shoulder? And he's like, yeah, man, no worries. And then he looks at me, looks at my wristband and my jumper, and he goes, what's with the gear? Like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, fucking A. So I ended up just talking about wrestling for the whole flight home. It was great. But yeah, the trip was really cool. So yeah, as I said, it was run by Foxtel and 2K. So they went all out. I don't mean to alarm you, Max, but I am officially in the history of WrestleMania, because I made the broadcast. This face is forever etched in WrestleMania WWE history.
God, it's a shame it was such a shit WrestleMania.
Day one was awesome. Day two, not so much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Look, I'm happy for you and all you wrestling people. Super stoked. But that's not us, so I don't get it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I understand what I understand why now they wanted to try and make betting on wrestling legal. Makes sense now.
Because they fuck you with the outcomes, yeah.
No, well, because they've sold and merged with UFC. So it
Yeah,
makes
that's a huge
sense
thing.
now. It makes sense now because they want to be able to bet on all of their sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It
Which is
makes them
great.
more value,
There's
makes
going to
them
be
more
such a weird
valuable.
crossover. Like, UFC is going to get a whole lot more WWE, and I'm not quite sure what UFC part's going to come over to WWE. Probably more about sports and
I
stuff.
actually don't think anything will come across to either of them. They're just owned by the same
No,
company
no, no.
now.
I, in terms of business practices, I totally will see sponsors on the ring mat. We saw at WrestleMania weekend, like, companies sponsoring particular matches. Like, the Rey Mysterio, Dom Mysterio, father son blood feud was sponsored by Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So nothing says punching your dad like breakfast cereal. So that was weird. But yeah, no, it's weird. Like, I think there will be a bit more crossover than we think. But it's not gonna be good. But yeah, no, the event was lovely. Obviously, Rhea Ripley, Australia's own, from fucking Adelaide. She won the SmackDown Women's Championship off Charlotte Flair, and that's where our footage got in, because we were in Sydney, and that they live crossed back to us, and we were all getting all rowdy and stuff. Like, I blew my voice out. I blew my thighs out too. It turns out, like,
Weird flex.
not drinking any water and just drinking beers all day totally dehydrates you, so much so that you get muscle pain. Because I don't drink enough water on the best of days. That was real bad. But I had a really good time. I had a really, really good thing. And it was good to see our friends from 2K over there. It was good to see our friends over from TCW. I had a really, really good time. Saying that, though, I'm still fucking tired. That one day in my old man life just wrecked me. I'm still wrecked now. Thankfully, I don't have work tomorrow. Just fucking snooze. Absolutely snooze. So I got woken up at like butthole o'clock this morning by my son, because it was Easter. He was excited for East Bunny to come, which was cool, but still tired. Damn, anyway, outside of those things, well, the week's been the usual week of work, and that's really about it. And occasionally I've snuck some games in there. So that's the section we call, what have we been playing? It's a section that we talk about what we've been playing. Max, have you been playing anything? Because last couple of weeks you've been like, yeah.
So I have now finished all three character campaigns in Destiny's Lightfall.
Jesus.
I finally
Nice.
wrapped up my Titan run. It was the run that I was least looking forward to, as Titan is my least favorite played character. I skipped all the cutscenes because the Lightfall
Identical.
campaign is, yeah, it's identical. It's just literally playing through it with a different character class. There's no changes. The campaign definitely leaves something to be desired, so I kind of just wanted to get it through as quickly as possible. Titan is still surprisingly my least favorite character. My main character has definitely changed from being Hunter to Warlock. I'm just having way more fun in Warlock now with all the quality of life changes, the gameplay changes that they made, with the addition of Lightfall, the changing of the mods and how certain abilities interact with certain pieces of gear. Gameplay's still tight. We're about to wrap up the end of the season. I don't think there's long left in this first season, and they just released a stack of information this week about moving forward and how they're going to do that. So they're kind of getting rid of the power level system now. When you do match-made activities, it will treat everyone in your party as if they were equal to the highest level person in the party. So say someone's level 1800 and the rest of you are on like 17, 16, whatever, you'll all get bumped up as if you were 1800. So
Okay.
it makes end game content a lot easier for those who are like want to play with their friends but aren't as dedicated to playing and grinding as everyone else, which is awesome. And there's just a few other things which will be interesting. All those, balance patches and fixes and all that fun stuff that comes into play. Other than that, I've still been grinding away at Octopath Traveler 2. I haven't done any more story content. I've literally just been grinding. I'm at the point where the next available or the next recommended levels for the next story missions are at about level 45, and I'm sitting at about 40, so I'm struggling to get through them. So I'm kind of just grinding on my characters up to get them better geared, get the skills unlocked, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Game's still awesome. I played Loop Hero for a bit.
What is Loop Hero? Because in my head, Loop Hero was that PC modded version of Guitar Hero that you could just like put your own songs in.
And that was something different. So thanks to the power of Games Pass.
Ew. Accurate. But
I played Loop Hero. So Loop Hero is essentially one of those idle games where your character is set up on a loop, and each time you do a loop, the level gets harder, the enemies get stronger, and as you defeat enemies you get random pieces of gear, and you've just got to equip them and try and last as long as you possibly can to gain resources. So every time you kill an enemy, every time you walk through a special tile, you'll get resources, and then once you've completed a full loop, you can either go, I want to go again, everything gets harder, or you can be like, I want to bail, save all the shit that I've collected, and you upgrade your town, buy upgrades, all that stuff, unlock new characters. But it's essentially a roguelike of you push yourself as far as you think you can go, and then when you're like, oh, I struggled last time, I probably shouldn't do that one more run, because if you die, you lose half of the stuff that you've acquired.
Jesus, okay.
So it's one, you don't lose everything, so it's not as punishing, but it's still quite punishing. But yeah, everything's done automatically. You just place tiles as you unlock them. But the gameplay loop itself and the combat is all automatic. So it's just one of those kind of sit back and chill.
They've put too much thought, like brain thought, into it, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. And the last thing I've been playing is one of the PlayStation Plus titles for this month. Which one was it? It was Tales of something?
Tales of Iron?
Tales of Iron.
What the fuck is it, Max?
It's a side-scrolling hack and slash game where you are from the Mouse Kingdom. You are the youngest son of...
Oh, I've seen this one.
You are the youngest son of the king, and the Frog Kingdom come in and fuck all your shit up.
No, not the Frog Kingdom.
You know, because you know, frogs and mouse and mice, just bitter enemies. It's all this.
If I learned anything from the Tales of Peter Rabbit, yes,
it's this lovely hand-drawn art style. It's gorgeous. There's no dialogue in the game. Everything is shown to you via, because you don't speak mouse or frog.
You may not.
Images pop up in speech bubbles, and you kind of put the information together
like
from the images
that are
shown.
That's interesting.
No. Well, it's not a hieroglyph. It's literally images of what you need to
do. Hieroglyphs are telling a story, right? It's like
true. But it's really cool, and it's PlayStation Plus, so it's free.
Check it out.
Played about very early on. I played like an hour of it. Nice. It's pretty cool.
Because like I've downloaded like Cheer as well from, was it from last month?
Yeah, I downloaded Cheer as well. Not my jam.
I haven't played it yet.
It's cool, but it's not for me. Nice. But what have you been playing? You've been playing something for ages that I think you can finally talk about.
Oh, right? I can finally talk about it. Okay. So it feels like I've had this game for months. I've had it for a long time. Like a month. Easily like a month, right? Oh. How long's PSVR 2 been out?
About a month? Since Feb. End of Feb?
Yeah, all right, I've had it for about as long as PSVR 2, if not like a week or so before, which is really inconvenient because I couldn't play it because I didn't have PSVR 2. I have been playing this game called Across the Valley. Now, I talked about this yonks ago because it was like, hey, it's a fucking VR game that is farming. And I'm in. And that's pretty much all it took. And the second that it hit my inbox, I was like, holy shit, do I have to play that game so fucking bad? And thankfully, I got to. Came through really quick, and I have been playing it on and off because it has been sort of having ongoing hot fixes throughout the time, including a big day zero patch as well, which has caused some minor troubles. I'll touch upon them shortly too. But in its essence, it is a farming game in VR. It has all the like the standard trimmings of a farming sim, but it's very much reduced in that. So when you walk onto your farm, The only things you really need to worry about is straight ahead of you are your fields. To your right is your barn, and in your barn are your larger livestock. They have the options of pigs, cows, and sheep, so your standards. And slightly to the left of that is your chicken coop, and then to your right is your house, and a little a cart to sell your wares. So the novelty of this game, which is fun, is you have to somewhat do the farming things in physically. So it's not like farming sim level intensity, like, you know, fucking tractors and, you know, all the... It's a simpler story of Seasons, but in VR. Like,
sorry, I'm just thinking of the clip from American Pie, and with Stifler going...
there is some milking, so there has been there is a moment you'll see me doing this. You'll see me like air trimming a sheep, you know,
shearing.
Trimming. So that's fun. But like, there's even part, like, so even down to like, so it's once again, it's a very simplified version of a farming sim in terms of where, when it comes to your crops, it's as simple as lay the seeds, weed them, water them, pick them. And even then, that's about as straightforward as it is. For the cows and all the your livestock, it's simple as feed them, pat them, flick the poop away with a shovel, retrieve their whatever the hell they make. So the loop itself is quite small, but it's not very hard. So in the time that I've spent with it, when you start the game, you go into your little house. There's a table in the middle that's like, hey, this is your farm. Mm-hmm. And you use that as, it's essentially like a little miniature set. And that's how you upgrade all your stuff. On one of the walls is a calendar. And next to the calendar is an order, like an order list, right? So it's essentially along the ideas of, hey, fulfill these orders. It's how you get access to more crops, more seeds, all those sort of things. So it's as simple as buy a cow, pat it, feed it, congratulations, you've won it, you now get lettuce. All right, plant some lettuce, you know, yield X amount of lettuce, done, there's your goal. But then you also have larger orders where it's like collect 10, you know, 10 wool, 8 tomatoes, like, cool, and there's your money to start doing stuff. So there is no, like, there is kind of a day-night cycle, but also not really, because you're never really doing anything long enough to like proceed into the night. So you start doing your standardy things, the routine continues, and then you just go to bed and you wake up and do it all again. And you can normally get a lot of the day stuff done in about 10, 15 minutes, not even. Because like, not every day you're having to plant seeds, not every day, like, you'll have to water most days. And I can tell that I'm boring the fuck out of you and I love it. You know, it just varies on the task. It's quite simple. But with that, it's exactly what I love about the farming games that I enjoy, is I love their simplicity. I love the repetitious nature of them, and I love the calmingness that the farming sims bring me. And this allows me to do all those things in VR.
So how awesome is the controller integration?
Is pretty good.
So could this have been done on PSVR1?
No. Like, there's not a lot of, like, extra dexterity or anything. It would feel weird with the Move controllers. So even down to, like, when you've got the seed, you got to hold the seed, you know, the seed tray in one hand and literally pick them up and grip them. And you do have to lay them out correctly. Otherwise, the yield won't be as good. Like, it's weird things. And then you have a shovel that you literally have to, like, fucking grab it with one hand on the shaft, one end at the base. I don't know what the fucking shaft of a shovel's called. You dig it, that's how you flick poo away. You know, and so it's not like super in depth as I mentioned, but I don't know, I fucking love it. I am really, really enjoying it, like, a lot. And there are some downsides, though. And I said the downside at the moment is that, yes, there was a big day zero patch that added a bunch of stuff. However, sadly, there has been some clipping issues with some of the items. So you can't, it's very fixed position. So they have the spin or click turn depending on what you're wanting to, if you're standing or sitting. Currently, the click turning is disabled because bunch of clipping problems. And I had some minor clipping problems like early on. Like I would bounce from spot to spot and my watering can would just get stuck. If I didn't have my watering can like to my chest and like I was at the field and then I went back to the tool rack, if I had my hand anywhere but like in front of me, it would get stuck in a shelf.
Yeah.
That's just VR, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I was held it to my chest, press the button and then put it where I needed to go. It's cool. I don't, like, there is potential for this to be bigger and to do a lot more. So I certainly hope it's something that's supported over a long window of time, because like it will be my go-to when I pull PSVR out. Be like, oh, I'll give it a couple goes of this, play this for a little bit. Like it's kind of like, you know how we always talk about with PSVR, you almost need like a warm-up. Mm-hmm. You need a game that gets you in the mode, that gets you in the space, so that you know you get your sea legs almost, right? This is kind of this is the sea legs game for me. I go, oh, cool. Okay. I go, yep, do a couple, you know, care for a couple plants, pat my sheep, you know, try not to shave my fucking sheep's dongles, you know, when I'm shearing him, flick some cow poo out of a little area. It's good fun, damn good fun. Speaking of other damn good fun, by the way, I've also been playing Dredge. So Dredge was a game that dropped last week. It caught my attention because, and I quote, Paul James Games was like, it's a Betson game. I'm like, oh, good old Paul James. Paul James Games knows a Betson game when there is one. So it is essentially like a fishing game meets storage management game meets Eldritch weirdness. So you're a fisherman, you shipwreck, you land in this area, and there's a town, and the town's like, hey, we've given you a new boat because we have one, our local fisherman's gone, if you help us out with some things, we'll make it worth your while, right? And then essentially the online is like, hey, what happened to the old fisherman? Oh yeah, he went out in the night too long and went fucking crazy or something. Like, that's weird. The basic loop of the game is, you know, time only moves when you do, whether you're boating or fishing. And then as night comes in, shit happens. Things get weird. Some spooky ass fucking shit happens. You go a little bit mad. In a very similar to like a Call of Cthulhu kind of way, like the more you expose yourself to the weird, the more insane you get. So you start seeing things and, you know, paths that are normally free block off. Like suddenly there's a bunch of shit in the water that you can hit that isn't really there, but it'll affect you like it is. Like you might run that route like 15 times and suddenly there's rocks in the way. So you go and you find wreckage and like you dredge it out of the water, hence the name. And you start to learn more about all these weird shit that's happened in the area. It's tons of fun. Very cool. And the
kind of sounds cool.
Oh, and the fishing mechanics are super easy too. It's like, it's essentially like a little timing event, like a little spinning wheel and you're bip, 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 where the green spots are, boom, done. There you go. You've stuffed. And you know, you can just do a couple runs where you just collect fish, go back, sell them, fish, sell, and then, you know, go for a little fuck around, go find some things, you know. It's good. Dude, it's on the PopSea account. Check it out.
So do you like buy upgrades for the boat?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So upgrade your engine, upgrade your rods.
Easier or?
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. So yeah. You can upgrade your engine because as in time moves as you do, so ideally you want to move faster so that you're impacted less by time. So one of the first things I focused on was A, upgrading my rods, because the first rod you get only works in like two certain areas, like shallow and coastal. Like, all right, cool. That's right, shallow rod action.
Fucking shallow rod. Anyway, apparently I'm super tired. Everything's just fucking hilarious. But yeah, go
ahead. But yeah, so like, therefore you can only hang about in this one area, right? And that's not very fun. Mm. So then you gain research points and upgrade your ability to, you know, your boat to be bigger and hold more stuff and get more advanced rodage. You know, next thing, you know, you unlock a fishing rod that can work in volcanic or mangroves or all these sort of things, right? So as it's all regioned off, you're like, well, I'm going to get this one because I'm going to go over there, or this one kind of catches everything, but this one also catches faster because, once again, fishing is also affected by your time. Sorry, time affects your fishing, I have to say. So every little upgrade is cool. It's a really cool little RPG mechanics. It's very cool little indie title. I know that friends of the show, Kieran of Bruges, first person to platinum it in the world, which is pretty exciting, gave it a very high score. I know Buddy Watson gave it a 10 out of 10 for Explosion Network. So, like, it ticked a lot of boxes for me. I was like, ooh, I'm going to check it out. And it is fucking fun. It is very fun.
I'll have to suss it out.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot, actually. And, like, it's one of those ones I'll just check at it for a little bit, do a couple rounds, you know, a couple little rounds, quote-unquote, like 10, 20 minutes, and I'll go to work or whatever.
So is there a fail state? Like, if you stay out too long, what happens?
Oh, no. The only fail state you can have is when your ship is fucked. That's it.
Yeah, and what happens? Like,
it just goes back to
restart the day or whatever.
Nah, just back to last time you docked at a marina.
Okay.
Yeah. So say you docked at a marina and then you went and, like, went out for yonks and went fucking mental and some giant fish honked your boat. Wow.
Yeah.
And, like, it's really cool. And, like, from an atmosphere standpoint, like, the music's very, like, very, very good. But it's one of those things, as you're just swimming around, because, you know, it's all kind of quiet and, you know, it's mildly cel-shaded sort of art design. So, like, I'm just going across the ocean from one island to another, and then I just happen to bump my right analog stick, right, and look behind me, and this giant fucking fish comes out from behind me and goes away. I was like, oh my God, what the hell is this place? And that's the fun part. The fun part is going, what the hell is this place? And then continuing to learn about it and, like, and see more of it in that time. It's really fun. It's a really, really fun game. I also been playing a lot of Unravel 2 over the last couple of days. Unravel was that EA Indies game that they announced with Yanni. They made a sequel that had multiplayer. James wanted to play a multiplayer game. He saw that and was like, "That's cool. I want to play that one." So we did. Platforming in that game is awesome. That game is really fun. I haven't played any more Resident Evil 4. I really should have, but I haven't. So that's bum. What else? Let me have a quick check of what else I've been playing. Still doing more 2K23 GM mode. That's still stupid fun. I think that's kind of about it, really. Nothing else is sort of... Like, I bought Persona 4, still haven't played it. Haven't touched it. You know. Oh, well. Anyway, that's not about what we've been playing. Let's get into the section we call Inform the Place. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Couple of biggish things this week, Max. It's a quiet week, but some biggies.
A couple of biggish things. So, for what feels like an eternity, we've been talking about this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think we spoke about it last week, where the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, had revised its stance against the buyout of Activision Blizzard to Microsoft. They basically said, it's not going to affect competition. It's fine.
Yeah.
Fine. So Sony has hit back at the CMA. And the CMA...
They responded with a, yeah, huh? And the competition, the CMA were like, nuh-uh. And Sony responded with, yeah, huh?
Yeah, so the CMA published Sony's response, which calls out the organization's abrupt about-facing statement. Quote, "The CMA's reversal of its position on its console's theory of harm is surprising, unprecedented, and irrational." Sony goes on to argue that the CMA has taken the, quote, "diametrically opposite approach," end quote, based, quote, "almost exclusively on a single economic model," end quote. The model in question is the so-called lifetime value model, which determines what the average player is worth to a company over the course of their lifetime as a customer. Sony says that the CMA assessed flawed data and that if their, quote, "errors" were to be corrected, then the profits Microsoft would reap from each PlayStation player leaving the platform to play Call of Duty on Xbox would be, quote, "three times as high as the lifetime value of an average PlayStation user," end quote. Sony's closing statement goes scorched earth, stating that, quote, the addendum does not justify the CMA's U-turn on the console's theory of harm. To reach a robust decision, the CMA should revisit its analysis of Microsoft's incentives and partial foreclosure, correcting for the errors identified on this paper, end quote. So Sony believe that Microsoft will make 3 times more money off their own customers if their customers leave to play one game, which will apparently be available in parity on PlayStation.
Allegedly.
I didn't say apparently.
Yeah, we'll have to say allegedly because Microsoft are making that claim, but they could also not. And that's one of Sony's biggest arguments at the moment is they could just not. And it's possible. But
I think so far that has been one of the conditions of the approval from like the CMA and stuff is that they get it in writing that there will be a deal made.
Yeah.
So
see, this is the thing. So I'm still chuckling at this because the PlayStation have essentially gone down the data is corrupted. We can't trust the data. The data is wrong. Like they're playing on the stats game. Now stats is inherently biased because you can make stats whatever the fuck you want. Any data set, if you want to, you can make it say whatever you want within reason. And I would agree in the idea that like using the lifetime value approach is different because it's probably not the best reflection as. I feel that as the average lifetime of an individual and their console is what, like, let's just say 40 years, 50 years, a lot can happen in that time. But if they want to talk about the lifetime of that console, it's like 10 years, I guess, right? Or if they're talking about the lifetime of a customer to Microsoft or the lifetime of a customer to that console, it varies. But the idea of it 3 times is a substantial number. And I still don't know how Sony would back that up because once again, Sony don't spend any money on, like they spend a little bit and from an advertising standpoint, like a marketing exclusivity or whatever, but really they didn't fork over shit. Like they just make money on this Call of Duty stuff. And the more and more I see of this, we talked about this last week too, and I feel like I'm repeating myself, but this will go through. This deal will go through, but I do believe PlayStation will have been able to achieve their objective. And their objective is either make it look like the Xbox are the bad guys in terms of whatever decision they make. If they do choose to remove it from PlayStation, they can go, look, we told you so. Can't trust them.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be one of those scenarios where they cut their nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a no-win situation for customers, but they will see it as a victory.
Yeah, customers will lose about, because this is almost near identical, but not really, in terms of how the individual will be affected from the whole Apple versus Epic debacle, right? Like it's just customers being affected as two billion dollar companies fight over scraps. I would argue that Call of Duty ain't scraps, but like, you know, they're like, hey, we want more free money, and they're like, well, you don't get more free money. Like, yeah, but we're entitled to more free money. Like, no, you're not. So look, thankfully the second thing that PlayStation were focusing on was if this deal goes through, have so many amendments on it or requirements that it's kind of useless. And it's what we're seeing, because if we're looking at this and if it does get to a point where, yes, it will happen, but Xbox have to have it on this for this amount of time and this and that, suddenly all these asterisks are involved. And it's kind of like, well, why? Why did you bother? Like, I don't think it'll quite get to that point.
I mean, it depends on what all those asterisks are, because at the moment, the only thing PlayStation cares about.
There'll be more.
Yeah, no, I agree that there would have to be more. But the only thing that's really been spoken about is Call of Duty.
Yeah. And this is and the other thing as well, and this is the interesting second step of all of this, is when this deal goes through, because it is the biggest of its kind, any other acquisition after this has the response of, well, Microsoft did it. So if Sony, after this, choose to go buy Square Enix, if they choose to buy, the other rumor mill was Take-Two, it's impossible, but let's just run with it. They decide to grab Take-Two. All these company, all these corporations, all these, you know, government bodies can't do shit. Because they're like, hey, they're like, oh, well, you can't do that. Like, why not? Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard King worth three times the value of this. Way more, you know, impact on the overarching game industry. Why you let them? It's the precedent of all of this. And I think that's what another thing Sony have tried to establish as well, is the precedent of this decision is intense. And thankfully, the other advantage of this is when this deal goes through, it'll kneecap Microsoft. They wouldn't dare acquire more people. They wouldn't dare. Like the conversations around this alone.
I mean, you say that, but you know, for a while we didn't think they were going to buy anyone else after they bought ZeniMax.
Yeah, because that was the original height. Now, but I mean that in terms of right now, the amount of backlash and like legality that's come with this purchase. Would Microsoft dare do an even bigger one? No. What a chance. And like the amount of money they're having to spend on this, including all these extra dollars, whether it comes to all these governmental things. And I believe we're rapidly approaching that time where Microsoft have to start paying ABK money just because the deal hasn't happened yet. I forgot what the term was, and I might be wrong, but like it's gonna start costing them, and it's like mind you, Microsoft have Stacker Coin, and they're very, very, you know, financially fine. But like the backlash, the PR of it all, I don't see them buying anything for a while, which is good. But look, it's a weird line where I've heard the argument of this. Well, I don't think we've discussed this, Max, that often. If ABK are this willing to sell, they would sell to anyone, really. Anyone that would fork over the money. So the argument that I've seen is it better that it's Microsoft compared to, say, Tencent or the Saudi funding body? Whatever the fuck they're called. Like, it's the lesser of two evils? Like, or you could just not sell.
Yeah, but selling is... They've got a lot of internal problems, and Sully may fix that.
No, it just redistributes the blame. That's it. So do you think that Microsoft buying this is better than the Saudi Royal Fund or Tencent? Is that a good argument to make?
I mean, it's not an outrageous argument to make. I don't think Tencent would... There's beef with Blizzard and Tencent at the moment anyway, so I don't think it would be...
Oh, I'm using them as an example. NetEase as an example.
As an example, I think I would prefer not having them go to one of those Embracer Group or any of those, because... Okay, it's hard to say because, you know, a lot of the IPs and stuff that get swallowed up by those big mega corporations kind of die. And at the same time, I think a lot of them are going to die anyway when they get swallowed up by Microsoft. And at the end of the day, this whole deal is realistically about King and COD.
Mm.
Like, King does give them does give Microsoft a push into that mobile space. And I can see the value of that there. But for the longest time, Blizzard have been releasing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, is it
Yeah, all the categories of ABK have not released good stuff in a very long
time. Yeah, it's one of those things of like, you know, it's hard to justify being like, well, it's better than this, but it might not necessarily be that case. I mean, Tencent as a whole are very questionable due to their affiliation with certain governmental groups and all of that
stuff.
The
CCP, yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's one of those, you know, are we only having that argument because we are PlayStation fans and we want to see everything go where it has been for so long? You know, would we still be taking this stance if we weren't a Microsoft-based show? Would be like, this could be good for us now. This is Microsoft need this type of thing. Because obviously although they have quantity, they still lack quality.
Well, then adding now, more quantity now, is not going to resolve
it. Now, granted, this isn't going to add more quality to that. But, you know, one would hope they're not going to get any worse.
All right. Well, let's run that thought, right? If this was a PlayStation thing, would we respond differently? I think I would. If PlayStation had followed the exact same trajectory as Microsoft, buying studio on studio.
While you're going on this tangent, I'll be back in a second.
No worries.
One sec.
So, thinking about it, had Sony done exactly what Microsoft had done, as in they bought all those studios, they announced them at E3 that one year, or the whatever fucking conference it was, they then went and bought ZeniMax, then they went and bought ABK, I imagine my stance would be very similar to that it is now, because PlayStation don't need all that, for one. But I do ponder, because like I'm trying to identify my own biases here, and I know that I know that I have some. I can run a PlayStation server cross-site. There's only so many different ways that a bias can present itself. Yeah, if they had done the exact same thing, excuse me, in terms of buy all the studios, then I would have an issue. And then I would be like, well, why isn't PlayStation just making their own shooter? And that is still an argument that we're having to this day. And it's a point that I bring up often. Why aren't PlayStation making their own shooter here? I would still argue that buying Call of Duty is a problem. In the same way that they're like, oh, what if they just go buy Square Enix? I'm like, well, it doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. You know, I do like PlayStation's approach of like, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I think that builds a much better working relationship. I think there's a higher chance that studios will want to work with you in a capacity when you know you're not going to get bought out, or the entire approach isn't to be bought out. The approach can just be simple as, hey, we want to work with you. Next some exclusivity things here. Back?
Yeah, sorry.
Cool, that's right. I was essentially just saying, like, if Sony had done the exact same process in terms of buying all the same studios in the exact same order, I guarantee you my stance would be exactly as it is right now. But with PlayStation, like, why isn't PlayStation making their own fucking shooter? Why are they having to buy someone? But had they not done the ZeniMax thing, had they not done all the studios at that fucking E3 or whatever showcase it was?
Well, before you go on, your argument is, why are they buying someone? Why don't they make their own? How do you feel about Sony's purchase of Bungie to help because they want to do live service, so they're like, let's buy Bungie.
Yeah, they're buying the knowledge. They're not buying the like. They.
I agree that they haven't been like, Destiny's only on this, yeah. But we don't know what Bungie's. We know Bungie's working on something soon.
Yeah,
they've Bungie kind of put their foot down and said, we're only going to sell if this is the case.
Correct.
Like, you know, for all we know, Because we don't really know the extent of the deal. Blizzard, not that I'm saying that this is the case, but like, you know, did Activision Blizzard have that same option? They're like, we want to be everywhere and we're only going to sell if we're everywhere, or it's just bias and you can do whatever the fuck you want with us.
I imagine it's two.
So,
like Activision, ABK's decision was like, we have bad PR. If you buy us, that will fix it, right? I think that's what it comes down to. Because there's like, a company like an ABK makes hand over fist money.
Mm.
There's like, it's not a financial benefit to sell because they make money. They make a stack of money.
Mm.
Like you're thinking of the alternate reason, right? If you're a studio that's having difficulty making ends meet, but you make quality games, being bought out makes absolute sense because you'll be able to fund your next project. You'll be able to sustain the workplace you have, be able to grow the workspace you have. But if you're Activision, you make stupid amounts of money in the minute.
Hmm.
It's not about making more money. They have more money than they'll ever need, and they'll be able to make that money back in no time at all. When you're talking in that level of billions of dollars, financial incentive is no longer relevant because that is more money than like small countries, right? Like the GDP of a small country is lesser than the value of this deal.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So that's the ulterior move. And like for PlayStation, especially with Destiny, they're like, hey, come on board. We want to work with you. You get to keep all the deals that you have. We just want to have access to your knowledge. We want to learn from you. That's a partnership right there. That's not an acquisition. It is technically. But like to me, that is come on board. We'll support whatever it is you want to do. Any of those great fears that you have around developmental costs or any risks that you want to take, we get you covered. But you still get to do exactly what you want to do. It's like a kid with well-off parents, essentially. You know, and that's kind of, they essentially have a sugar daddy now.
Yeah.
Where that's the difference. Where, yeah. Would you be responding the same? How did the shoe be on the other foot? Because like for me, I'm acknowledging my biases and say if it was exactly this way, if it beat for beat, but you just scrubbed out Microsoft and wrote PlayStation or Sony, guarantee you I'd stay the same. But if they had removed the ZeniMax purchase, this, that, the other, people like, yeah, I can imagine I would respond differently.
I don't know
that I'm a piece of
shit. I honestly don't know. I am in that. It's hard for me because at the end of the day, this deal doesn't affect me.
Oh, me either, yeah.
Like, and that's like the fun of it. I am in a very privileged position where I own both consoles. And I can play whatever, wherever. A lot of my friend groups have both consoles. So at the end of the day, it's hard to be like, oh, damn, it's not coming here. I can no longer play with these people because I can. Mm. Like, it's a hard justification for me to be like, oh no, I'll be exactly the same because at the end of the day it doesn't matter.
Mm.
Like I'm gonna play, like, you know, the only franchises I like from ABK is Tony Hawk pretty much, and that's dead. It's not coming back anyway to either console. Call of Duty for the longest time has fallen off my radar until now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one game mode that I play, which is a free-to-play version of the game anyway. But it's hard to be objective knowing that it doesn't matter to me.
Oh,
purely,
yeah.
Because it doesn't affect me. Like it's like I'm all for, you know when crossplay started off, I'm all for, like, you know, to fucking let people play together how they want to play. Like it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome if you could play PlayStation titles on Xbox. It'd be awesome if you could play those Xbox exclusives on PlayStation. If I could fucking get Games Pass on my PlayStation.
Ooh.
And play all those games on a PlayStation controller, be fucking mint. It's never going to happen.
No.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bullshit cop-out answer, but, like, I can't give you an honest answer because I just, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
So I don't know what my stance would be because at the end of the day, it makes no difference to me.
Yeah. Speaking
like,
of,
and again, it's a bullshit answer, but like that's it what is. It is.
Yeah. So it's an honest.
Like answer. I can't, you know.
Well, speaking of controllers, Max, this week, PlayStation, Sony had a patent that was discovered. It's a weird one.
It's so good, though.
It's so weird. Okay, so PlayStation...
this is the fucking next level of immersion. Right.
So the idea of the ability of this PS5 DualSense controller will be able to dispense heat to reflect on-screen gameplay or temperature, really. Based on upgrading the current pad's haptic feedback feature, the idea is that vibrations will warm up the controller or cool it down depending on what's happening within the game. So this is done. Oh, it goes. So you go to a desert region and you'll feel the sun on your palms, or take something out of the freezer and you'll feel the chill on your fingertips. Sony says this would be done by replacing the plastic that makes up the PS5 controller, so in terms of the hand grip areas, with a gel-like material. So it's going to be sticky and gross. And as such, this should overcome. If this was to ever come to fruition, it would be a new model of the DualSense pad rather than just a firmware update. So it is designed to, quote, enrich haptic experiences, end quote, according to the patent. So according to the patent, the idea of this, by replacing the grip areas with this gel-like molded gel thing. I imagine it feels like a shitty fucking cover for your iPhone. You know, those really shitty silicone gel things. So apparently that the gel-like whatever the fuck it is, a substance material, will actually allow for the haptic feedback to be sent better because it's not like hitting a hard surface. It kind of can essentially reverberate through the gel-like material, which allows for it to disperse heat or disperse cold, which in for me I'm conflicted because I'm like, one, why?
Well, the reference that all the articles have been using that I've seen is Metal Gear Solid, where at the end of the game you have to heat up or cool down the fucking nuke button. So your controller heats up and you're like, oh, cool it down. And then it gets colder and you're like, oh, I got to bring it back up to temperature and cool it back down.
Yeah, look, it's pure gimmick. All of
the haptics on a controller are pure gimmick, though.
No, I disagree.
The tension on a trigger, pure gimmick for bow shooting. Like, it is. All of them, they are pure gimmick.
I disagree. It is a gimmick, yes, but not pure gimmick. Pure gimmick is motion control. That's an example. Like, you remember in fucking Infamous Second Son, where you got to turn the controller on its side and shake it like a spray can and pull the trigger to spray paint the walls? That is using fucking motion control as a gimmick. Right, my camera's fucking froze for a sec. I wish it kind of froze when I was mid spray painting, but like, yes, it's all gimmick, but rumble feedback like that is important. It's incredibly important. Have you ever gone back and tried to play without rumble? It's fucked.
If it was incredibly important, it wouldn't be able to be disabled.
It's true. Yeah, that's a good point, I suppose.
It's all gimmick. Like the fucking Nintendo Switch controller where you can fucking count individual marbles by like
that is gimmick. It's all gimmick. Sorry.
To be fair, every Nintendo controller is a fucking gimmick. But
yeah.
A lot of this stuff is gimmicky.
Okay. Point I was making. So all the things like the haptic feedbacks, the triggers, etc., it is a gimmick is something to me that is used by like one game. That fucking thing by Infamous, one game. Those ball counting things, one game on the Switch. This temperature upsy downsy bullshit, I guarantee like two games would ever use it.
But it would not be worth it.
Theoretically, but it won't. Because theoretically, that level of intense haptic feedback that was present in the Nintendo Joy-Cons was only ever used and implemented in 1-2 Switch. There is no other game that I can recall that uses it as intensely as that game. And then I would argue that the haptics are similar in that no one's using them to the same extent as Astrobot. However, there are so many games that are taking on board those adaptive triggers and the haptic feedback. Haptic feedback is just fancy a rumble. The triggers, like the haptic feedback isn't a gimmick because it's the same, it's essentially rumble. The triggers, potential gimmick, is not being handled as such.
Just because it's being widely used does not make it any less gimmicky.
You know what?
I disagree. And just purely because you can fucking disable it, and most people do, because in half the games it's annoying. Like, I leave it on most of the time, but anything competitive it gets turned off on. Because it delays my reaction time. Delays the time it takes me to aim down the sights of a gun or to shoot that weapon.
All
right,
first of all, one, nerd. Second, shut up.
I prefer the term sweat, fuck you. But it's true. Like, I like the idea, it's cool, but when it costs me a fucking gunfight. All right,
so in that case, would you turn this off?
In playing Call of Duty? Yes. Playing like God of War? No. I'd live it up.
Oh man, you turn the Blades of Chaos on and the control. Okay.
Power up the Leviathan axe, your controller cools down. Do it in a combo, break your controller. Do that weapon swap, fucking ruin it.
So when you do that pullback, you... Yep. Oh, okay, you know what? I may have just turned around.
You're into the gimmick. You're into the gimmick. See, man. Gimmick. All gimmicky. I fucking told you.
You know what Sony may think is a gimmick?
No, it fucking is a gimmick.
Handhelds.
Bullshit. Yeah, sorry. The unreported piece of Sony hardware that has been rumbling around the past week could be a, quote, cloud streaming handheld, according to Jeff Grubb of Giant Bomb. The journalist tweeted about having heard of such a device and then advised fans to definitely scope down those expectations. Instead of a PS Vita 2, this is said to be a handheld based around streaming games to let you play them on the go. Codenamed the Q Lite, it's supposedly designed more around the PS5's remote play feature rather than cloud streaming. It'll support 1080p resolution at up to 60 frames per second, according to the article. Quote, the device supports adaptive triggers for haptic feedback and will include what you would come to expect from a handheld: volume buttons, speakers, an audio input jack, etc. End quote.
All right, so, one. Remote play is available on your phone. I have a backbone controller for that.
Doesn't have haptic feedback, though.
Two. This would be way better than that. Like, substantially. As much as I love my backbone controller, it is cool. The thumbsticks suck. Having to use my phone blows because you can't, like, jump out of the app. Because if you go, oh, I got a message, jump out of the app, it completely kills the connection. So then you got to re-log back in. So having a device for that is incredibly excessive. And, like, if we're sitting here thinking that, oh, man, the PSVR 2 is not doing very well because it's a boutique-y piece of tech, imagine a fucking control, a device that just remote plays. Doesn't play its own shit. It just remote plays. That is 100% a fucking boutique item. Would I buy it? I'd highly consider it. Saying that though, remote play obliterates fucking data on your phone. It's fucking insane. And then, like, it better have 5G compatibility, because remember when the Vita had 3G support, but you had to get your own fucking SIM card for it? That's a whole lot of bullshit. This is a really cool idea until you start thinking about it harder. It's like the last three Star Wars movies. The first time you see it, you go...
If this has 5G capabilities, you're still going to have to get your own SIM for it.
Most definitely. That's what I'm saying. But like, I mean, like, yeah, it's the Star Wars movies in that you go... First time you saw those new Star Wars, you go, man, that was a fucking all right, eh? And then the second you give it any sort of logical thought, you go, hang on, this makes sense. And this is exactly that. You go, this is a really cool idea. Hang on.
I don't think I've ever used remote play.
Oh, I use it all the time.
I think I've ever used it.
9 times out of 10, I use it to simply go download games on my console or free up space, whatever I want to do. Mostly because, like, it's a choose data, and very rarely do I go anywhere that has Wi-Fi that's strong enough for me to remote play that isn't my house. And the delay input is always poo. Always poo. Saying that, though, friend of the show, Paul, was playing... was Octopath in the car park of Coles today while his missus was off doing shopping. So I don't want to go.
Instead of helping.
Yeah, instead of helping, he's playing Octopath on his phone, remote playing to his house. So in that case, I presume you wouldn't buy this.
No, not at all. It's not for me. Like, if I'm out and playing games on the go, which I don't often do anyway, I'm fucking playing Marvel Snap. If I want to play a PlayStation game, I want to sit down and enjoy it properly.
Correct.
I want to be on my nice 32-inch fucking beautiful monitor, not on my, like, 2-centimeter fucking screen that looks like asshole.
Yeah, like, and I'm in the same boat. Like, I don't want to... This is brag about our fucking gear for a second. Once again, I work 5 minutes from my house. Like, I don't travel. And when I do travel away from my house, I'm either driving because I don't like public transport, or like I drive somewhere with purpose. Like, I'm driving to work a wrestling show. So I'm not going for funsies. I'm going to work. I'm not going to sit there and remote play, you know.
Yeah, so it's not like you're going shopping.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going shopping.
I'm not
going to
do my shopping.
You know, like, if I took more public transport, if I commuted more, yeah, I would guess that would make more sense. But in a post-COVID world where no one commutes anywhere anymore, why would you make this?
Yeah.
Make a Vita too. Like, make it, like, even then, like, as much as I'd love to see a dedicated, like, handheld again from PlayStation, because, you know, I've got both the Vitas and the PSPs above my head, like, it would be cool. But I also am like, they won't support it. It will not get the love, games, or anything that it actually needs, and it will die.
But doesn't it have all games if you can remote play? If it's a remote play device, doesn't it have everything you have?
Yeah, but then once again, in terms of my specific circumstance, sure. But like, if I'm trying to think, if I think outside of myself, that's very hard for me because I'm a selfish prick. Who is using this? And that's the thing, like, my answer is individuals that are commuting. That's it.
Like, why can't I just pair my controller onto my iPad and just do it?
You can. You totally can.
Like, why do I need to buy...
There was literally a firmware update not that long ago that gave your iPad, your Apple device, straight up connectability to... I have a DualSense in my drawer on my bedside table before I got my backbone. Its entire purpose was remote play.
Like, why do I need to buy another device when I already have the devices that enable me to do this?
Yeah. The only major inconvenience is that you can't, like, text or do anything else while you're remote playing.
Yeah. Just one more piece of tech that you have to fucking carry around.
Yeah.
One more thing that needs to be charged. One more cable to plug in. One more...
Better have USB-C. None of this proprietary bullshit. Fucking Vita.
You know. I was going to say, you know it will, but PlayStation controllers charge off of USB-C, so I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. There's still about a game that I would probably be open to playing in remote play, but I won't because, you know, it would be poo. God of War. So God of War Ragnarok has just received a major update on both PS5 and PS4 and has introduced the long-awaited New Game Plus. The update is available to download and install as of right now. After completing Ragnarok story at least once, New Game Plus mode will become available. It introduces new equipment, enchantments, and increased level cap, allowing you to power up Kratos more than ever. Carrying over all your skills, weapons, and equipment, you'll be able to blast through a New Game Plus playthrough, although areas requiring Sonic and Hex Arrows, or the another weapon that you get later, won't be available until after their usual introductions in the story. Sorry, I don't do spoilers. Furthermore, some boss fights have been tweaked to give you a fresh experience in New Game Plus, and the developer has thrown in a black and white filter mode so you can play the whole game in monochrome for some reason. So additionally, they've added a bunch of things to make the game harder, for funsies. Like, there's a Spartan armor set, which essentially level caps everything on your armor at one, and you just get your shit kicked in. Like, that game was fucking hard on easy. If it wanted to, that game fucked. It was horrible. And some, like, those difficulty spikes, are like some of those mini bosses at the back end of the game, brutal.
I don't know if you can hear my eyes rolling at you, but wasn't that hard. Calm down.
Dude, the Queen of the Valkyries?
Cakewalk. Didn't even get hit.
You can go and fuck.
You're talking to an Elden Ring Platinum Trophy holder.
You can go fuck yourself with that Platinum Trophy. And look, I understand for many, this may be a great... Like, yeah. It's so good that this game is getting this for those that want to play it again.
This is making me more likely to go back and get the Platinum now that I can just fucking blitz through it because I've got a new game plus it.
Yeah, but like once again, PlayStation's focus on how they deliver trophies, they're all unmissable. Like, and they're all just pick up shit around the world. I mean, that's a lot of...
Yeah.
So, like, why there's no... There are, unlike Horizon, which had new trophies for New Game Plus, this doesn't. So, it's not as if you're going to get extra trophies for running it in New Game Plus. If you've already played the main campaign, you've got all those trophies. So, why would you New Game Plus just the side missions? Because you can't just jack up the difficulty. And the black and white filter, I guess they want sort of the Kurosawa sort of like Ghost of Tsushima style. But like one of the things that makes Ghost of Sparta. What was that?
Ghost of Sparta.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. Literally the Ghost of Sparta. Well done.
Look, it's a piece of art, all right? Don't
yeah, but like
it.
One of the greatest things about this game is it's fucking high, it's dynamic of color.
Yeah, well, it can be dynamically black and white. Fuck you.
Bullshit. Yeah,
you don't know its life. Have a look at it.
But like, check think it about out. It. Think about it. Like, you know that scene when you go to, was it the spark of the earth or spark of the universe or whatever, right?
Yeah.
With this beautiful space, purple,
when Thanos
oranges.
Clicks his finger.
Yeah, all those different things. And it looks stunning. Like, you know what I want to do? I want to see less of those colors.
Oh, I bet you it's look fucking great.
I would, yeah, look, if it's anything like the fucking Logan, like the black and white version of Logan or the black and white version of Fury Road, Mad Max, I'm open to it. I've platinum, I've done everything that game can deliver, so I have no interest in going back at the moment.
Fair enough. Gamescom.
All year?
Jeff Keighley has confirmed the Gamescom opening night live.
Like 25 minutes after E3 died, he's like,
"We'll return still this here. Summer." The event is set to take place Tuesday, 22nd of August. Tuesday, what a weird fucking day!
Yeah,
and we'll once again act as a curtain raiser for the Cologne based convention. Opening night live has been a bit hit and miss over the last few years, mostly because of all the big reveals tend to happen in Keighley's earlier project. Summer Games Fest, which happens in June. Keighley cutting his own lunch there.
Look, I have to respect Jeff Keighley's fucking nutsack. If it's been like E3 collapsed. Hey! Fucking old Keys dog over here. We're still around. Don't worry about that.
Key 3.
Yeah. All right, I'm still watch it. Oh, like I said, I won't watch it. I never watch them live because there's never enough PlayStation shit to interest me.
So I never watch them live because I'm asleep.
Yeah, that too. One thing that is fun to watch live because how else you fucking watch it? Movies. So I went and saw Mario today. It's pretty cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But here are some other games that might be coming to the big screen. So Street Fighter. Legendary of Capcom have confirmed that a new live-action film is officially in production. No other information as of yet. Please don't forget there is already a Street Fighter movie. It's got Kylie Minogue in it.
It's great. It's got it's Jean-Claude.
It's stupidly good. It's so like, good. I don't mean to alarm so Capcom dumb, or good. Legendary Pictures, but there is a very high bar established by much subpar movie. So get ready. Oh, shit. All right. And also that one's Red Dead Redemption. While promoting the film Mario, Super Mario Brothers, actor Jack Black, who voices Bowser in Red Dead Redemption, expressed interest in other game adaptions. Quote, I'm a fan of adaptions when done right, end quote, he told BBC in an interview. That's it. He described The Last of Us TV adaption as fantastic, noting, quote, how loyal it is to the original source material, end quote. As for what could come next, Black suggested that Rockstar should adapt its Western to the big screen. Quote, Maybe there's going to be a Red Dead Redemption movie, he muses. There should be, because I think that it has just as good or an even better story than The Last of Us. So, that's not a story, Max. That's just Jack Black saying some shit. Why'd you make that a story?
Why not?
Jack Black is good.
What other? Because it invokes the question of what other franchises would you like to see adapted to the big screen?
Well, I kind of want
the likes of Uncharted. Obviously, Last of Us isn't the big screen; it's the little screen, but it's done a big job at fucking carrying all those things.
Well,
from the back end of like Twisted Metal, God of War, all getting TV adaptations along with Horizon. What else could be pulled to go up here?
All right. Well, for me,
do you want Bully the movie?
No. What I do want is what I'm getting. I'm getting God of War. I'm getting Horizon. I think episode like 30 of this show we pitched a GTA movie. I would like to see a GTA 5 movie. Like the three protagonists is pretty cool. I think that'd be kind of fun. Metal Gear Solid is apparently in the works with like fucking Poe Dameron, old Oscar Isaacs, that handsome gentleman. There's enough rumblings of a bunch, like, and said this week, apparently there's some fucking Minecraft movie with Jason Momoa in it. I hope he plays the Creeper.
Enderman.
Yeah, you got real...
No, I don't think it's a live-action movie.
He's playing the sheep.
He's fucking Minecraft Momoa.
Minecraft Steve.
He's Minecraft Steve. Actually, I have no idea.
He's Herobrine. He's that creepy-ass fucking version of Steve that was around, allegedly. No, I don't want movies. I want TV, because we saw firsthand with The Last of Us, TV is a better art, is a better storytelling medium. And
I'd agree more.
When we're talking about games, especially long, because games are long form storytelling, and TV is long form storytelling.
You know what? Fuck it. I want Hades in the movie as a movie.
Oh man, yeah, dude. I just want to see the incredible attractive actors and actresses that they would use for that. Oh my God. What happened?
My light's flickering.
It's the power of Hades right there.
It's the power of Hades, yeah.
Dude, like that game is dope. And because it's... The trick is, if you want a fun adaption, you want a game that's not quite strict enough on a story that you can fuck with it. And like Hades, you could fuck with it because like the gameplay is all the... The story is what is there, and the gameplay just brings the rest of the story. Where like Last of Us could only work in a TV series because of that high level story that it has. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I guess they made that Battleship movie, and that was pretty bumhole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to think about, I'll have to ponder on it.
Well, let's move on to quick bits then. Multiverses has been removed from the PlayStation Store. That's it. It's done until it's
until it's 1.0, yeah.
As of April the 9th.
I want a fucking Division TV series and or movie. That'd be awesome. That'd be really good, actually.
As of the 19th of April, only two...
What about Doom? Sorry, I'm going to let you finish.
Oh, fuck up. Yeah, as of the 19th of April, PlayStation will only be missing two Final Fantasy games from its entire series. Of mainline numbered games. So we're getting Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster, which brings Final Fantasies 1 through to 6 on April the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So the only two numbered Final Fantasy games that PlayStation doesn't have access
11
to.
11 and 13. 13?
Which is fine because 11 was an MMO, 11 is on. 11 is online and I think servers are shut down.
Yeah.
Still playable on private servers, I believe. And 13's garbage, so it's fine.
Why do I know that? Before you jump, how excited are you for that?
Oh, I'm so keen.
Yeah.
So keen.
So which one are you jumping into first, by the way?
Three.
Do you have an order? If you were to play 1 to 6, what was the order that you play them in?
3, 6, 1, 2, 4, 5.
Damn. All right.
Easy.
And then 2, done. I guess at the end of that? Because like...
3, 6, 1, 2, 4, 5.
Yeah, there you go. All right, cool. Damn, that was like... I was like that too.
Easy.
I want to play 7.
The final patch for Marvel's Avengers happened this week.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Dunsky, final ever patch.
Actually, you know what I do want? If they're going to give these fucking Final Fantasy Pixel remasters, what I want is what was essentially a spin-off game to Final Fantasy, Mystic Quest Legend. It was on Super Nintendo. That game fucking slaps, and I would like to play that again.
I'd like Tactics redone, but, you know, we can't get everything.
Didn't they just do that?
Yeah, they did Tactics Ogre. I want Final Fantasy Tactics, which is rumored, but we'll see. And lastly, GT7 has upped itself to 120 frames per second.
Oh, man.
It even more glorious than it already was.
Dude, that'd be awesome. And slightly less vomity, I imagine, which would be nice. All right, here are the games that are coming out this week to your PlayStation. On the April 11th, you're getting Sherlock Holmes The Awakened, PS5 and PS4. April 13th, you get Cannon Dancer Osman, PS5, PS4. April 14th, you get Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection on your PS4 and Process of Elimination on your PS4. Not a whole lot to talk about in terms of games coming out this week, and that's a bum. All I know is I'm pretty sure Sherlock Holmes The Awakened is part of the well-played predictions. I'm coming third last. So
I apparently forgot to put mine in. I'm not even on the list.
You totally did. I send you the link too, you fuck. And I did it. The reason I'm so last is because I didn't have time to research any of the games. I had like 20 minutes to submit it, and I went and just pulled numbers out of my asshole.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Good luck, up.
Oh, man.
For sure. If they do the same thing as last year, I'll just fucking come in at round two and clean up. That will not happen. But...
No, it will not. Anyways, thank you for everyone for joining us on this Easter episode of For the Players. Hope you all had a lovely Easter weekend. And as always, thank you for choosing to spend your well-earned time with us. We do much appreciate it. Max.
Yeah, why sit in the car and remote play Octopath when you could sit in the car and watch us?
Hey, it brings up an incredibly good point.
Oh, I'm going to get so much shit tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not going to go well for us.
But anyway, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens over twitch.tv/popculture, we request to record the show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe to the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise to popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Can you not like send funny pictures in the group chat while we're doing a show?
To be fair, I sent it an hour ago, so fuck off.
We've been recording for an hour and 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Look, okay, you didn't. It was it the back end. You saw it. It's fine.
Wait, 20 minutes in. Was that when I was talking about the farming game?
No,
rude asshole.